Story number 24, Skeev. The storm surge on the morning of Friday, 13th of November, 1872, that hit Lolland, Falster, and the islands lying south of Funen was a major disaster. The waves were 3 meters high and flooded most of the islands, leaving behind wrecked houses, dead humans and animals. This is a story about what was revealed in the afternoon of that cold November day when people were searching in the water left behind by the sea.
Skeva was born in the village of Grasshave, in the southern part of Lolland, not far from the biggest town, Nakskov. His father was a hero in the Civil War in 1848 in Schleswig and died tragically in battle. So Skeva's only memory of his father was a Danish flag on the wall with his father's name written on its white cross. His mother was alone raising her son, and she struggled to make ends meet. Skeva suffered from extreme hunger and was a very little child. He developed rickets, and his back had a peculiar bend. His spine bent from the base to the left, and then changed direction and went to the right. Then up by the breast, it suddenly jutted forward. Everybody just called him Skeva, which means skewed, and he was happy with his nickname. He was a clever and kind boy, and when he grew up in the little village of Grasshave, he was the boldest of the boys, and to play with Skeva was considered an honour. You were never bored if you were in the company of Skeva. Later, when he became a young man, the young girls in the village loved to be entertained by him. He wasn't the most handsome man, but he could make them laugh, and he wasn't scared of them, which they enjoyed. The old gardener on the biggest estate in the area, the Ullingsgård estate, needed an assistant, and Skeva talked his way into getting the job. When Skeva then started working on the farm as the old gardener's apprentice, the gardener saw that the young man had green fingers. Skeva could be gentle and kind to a plant that needed attention. It was like the plants talked directly to Skeva. When it was needed, his arms were as strong as any young man the old gardener had worked with. Skeva worked hard on the farm, and soon the old gardener no longer needed to do heavy work. The old gardener was proud to pass on his knowledge to his fine apprentice. One of the services a gardener on a big estate like the Ullingsgård estate had to fulfill was holding meetings with the housekeeper on the estate. The housekeeper was a very important woman. She was in charge of all matters relating to food for the household. She decided how many potatoes were needed for winter, or if there were extra oats needed that season. The meetings between the gardener and the housekeeper often involved going out to the fields and looking at the crops, counting how many potatoes were left in stock, and making sure the wheat to be sowed was in tip-top condition. Skeva was employed on the estate in the middle of winter, and Miss Jensen, the housekeeper, enjoyed her meetings with him and the old gardener, where they planned for the year ahead. In the beginning, the old gardener was leading the meetings, but eventually Skeva took over. And when it became spring, it was only Skeva and Miss Jensen doing all the walking and talking. They enjoyed each other's company. And one day, Miss Jensen invited Skeva for a walk later that night. And so they started doing these walks regularly, holding hands. And one special full moon evening, Skeva gave Miss Jensen a kiss and asked for her real name. When she gave it to Skeva, he just smiled and told her his. That was the engagement settled. Now the wedding had to be planned. On an estate like the Ullingsgård estate, There were other workers. One of them was the steward of the barns on the farm, an important person if you asked him. This steward was in charge of the barns and what was in them. He came to Miss Jensen one late afternoon in the beginning of June and said, "Is it really true that you're going to marry this Skaver, a simple worker with no fortune or security of any kind? You should reconsider and find someone of your own standard with no handicap." Miss Jensen just looked at him coldly and told him that she loved Skaver, and it was none of the steward's business who she was going to marry. He left with a grunt. The wedding took place on a hot, humid midsummer's day. The dark, rainy clouds were gathering in the distance, but not a drop of rain fell, and the air was thick with moisture. So when the two lovers said their loud yes in the little church, everybody was sweating and thinking that rain and thunder would do everyone some good. After the beautiful ceremony in the church, there was a little gathering with Skaver's mother, the lord of the Olingsagor estate, and his wife and a few friends from the farm. In the evening, the couple were given the guest house to spend their wedding night. As they were getting ready to go to bed, Skaver told his wife that he would go into the garden to smoke his pipe. Skaver loved a pipe of tobacco just before he went to sleep. He would find a quiet place, light his pipe, and think about the day while he was enjoying the taste of the good tobacco. His wife said that it was going to rain soon, so he should come back when it started. She went into the bathroom to make her final preparations for the night. The moment she entered the bathroom, the heavens opened up, and the rain that had been hanging over their heads all day finally poured down over the little guest house. She returned to the main room in the guest house, wondering why her beloved Skaver hadn't come in from the rain. Then came the first lightning, and immediately after, that crashing sound of majestic thunder. Still no sign of her love. She opened the garden door, and the rain came rushing in. She called out into the dark and the rain. No answer. Then another bolt of lightning flashed. And in that flash, she thought she saw some men in between the trees carrying something. She shouted, "Have you seen my love?" No answer. Just the thunder, now a little bit away from the farm. She found a coat and ran out of the guest house. There were no men in between the trees. She was all by herself in the dark. She ran to Skaver's mother. No Skaver. She ran to the owners of the estate and apologised for getting them out of their beds, but she was really worried that her love was gone. It was as if he had vanished into thin air. She was trembling with fear and cold, so the lord of the estate and his wife took her inside and made sure she had some hot soup and dried her clothes. The lord told his servants to search for Skaver, but after an hour of intense searching, they came back empty-handed. Skaver's wife collapsed when she realized that Skaver was gone. It was so hard to believe that her love had abandoned her. A week after the wedding and the disappearance of Skaver, the steward of the barns came to the housekeeper. "I'm sorry to hear about your husband's disappearance," said the steward, "but that's just how simple people behave. Your husband was too scared to fulfil his matrimonial obligations and ran away when you asked him to stand up like a real man." She stared at him with disgust and said, "My love is 10 times more man than you are ever going to be. I will ask you to leave. I have nothing more to talk to you about if it is not about the livestock on the farm." "But you will need a husband now your coward of a man is gone," said the steward. "Perhaps," she said, "but that is my decision alone, not yours. Please leave me now. So the steward finally left. She sat down and cried. She thought of Skeva and felt his warm and gentle touch as his spirit embraced her. Soon the belly of Skeva's wife grew, and it became obvious that Skeva hadn't been too scared of fulfilling his matrimonial duties on the wedding night, as proposed by the steward. Skeva had already done his duty, and his wife was now pregnant with their child. She gave birth to a lovely sound boy at the end of winter, just as the snowdrops were beginning to grow. She looked at the baby boy. She felt his straight spine and smiled. This little boy grew up on the estate, showered in the love of his mother and everybody else who worked there, except for the steward of the barns. He never spoke to the boy. When the boy was 10 years old, a disaster hit Lolland. In the morning of Friday, 13th November, 1872, the wind changed from northwest to a direct wind from the east. It was a cold, harsh wind, full of rain and snow. The islanders woke that stormy winter morning and felt the wind blasting across the land. As they got ready to go to work, to school, the waves crashed over the dikes and the flood swept away everything in its path. The water in the Baltic Sea washed back into the inner fjords of southern Denmark with devastating force. The tsunami was about 3 meters high and left a deadly trail, destroying houses and drowning animals and humans in the salty water. When the terrible storm finally stopped, the people from the farm began searching the boggy fields of Olingsogård to find their animals or any missing people. They came to some of the forests a short way from the farm. And there they saw a dead hand sticking out from the ground. It couldn't be any one of the victims from the flood that same day. This hand appeared to be many years old. When they dug out the naturally mummified body, it turned out to be the remains of a beheaded man. They searched and searched, but they couldn't find the head anywhere. The skeleton had a strange-looking spine that bent from the base to the left, then changed direction and went to the right. Then up by the breast, it suddenly jutted forward. There was no doubt in anyone's mind. They had found the beheaded remains of Skeva. When the housekeeper was told that her beloved Skeva was found dead in the soil in the forest not far from Olingsogård, she was in one way relieved. Her one love in her life had not just left her. Somebody had killed him and buried him in the ground. They gave Skeva a funeral, and his wife and son were able to say their farewells. In the evening after the burial, it started raining heavily again. A young couple came home from Nakskov, and when they passed the graveyard, the young woman screamed as she saw Skeva's coffin rising up from his grave. Was it the water, or was it Skeva looking for his head? Well, the priest decided that the coffin should be kept in the church until the ground dried out towards spring. That winter was hard on every soul in Lolland. Every sack of grain or potatoes or every storeroom of the farm was needed to feed the people. When the farm workers came to the last of the storerooms, it was empty except for 2 sacks hidden in a dark corner. Inside one, they found a broken pipe and a blood-stained axe. And in the other, they found a skull with a big hole in the front. A search for the steward was carried out, and they found him in one of the barns. He had hanged himself from the ceiling. Skeva's head was placed in his coffin, and that spring they buried him again. This time he stayed in his grave, happy to be united with his head.